This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the opening broadcast of the Remembrance Day Contest 2013. Welcome in 2013 to the Remembrance Day Contest, Australia's biggest and most significant annual amateur radio competition. I'm Peter Ellis, VK1PE, your presenter for this event. Each year we pause to consider the roles that amateur radio operators played in World War II, and we honour the passing of the brave servicemen who did not return home when the hostilities ceased. There were no women. However, the whole idea of the contest is to have fun. Indeed, for the next 24 hours, we're pretty sure the bands will be at their busiest for the whole year, so please be involved. The rules for this weekend's contest were published in the WIA magazine Amateur Radio and are available on the website www.wia.org.au. There is no obligation to participate, but even with 30 minutes on air, your involvement will make a difference, particularly by submitting a log. It really doesn't matter if this is your first RD or the 50th. History says that you will enjoy the experience. This contest is for us amateurs, just as it has been every year since the late 1940s. We conduct the RD contest for 24 hours on the weekend closest to the day called VP Day, Victory in the Pacific Day. This day formally marked the end of World War II. So each year in the RD, we spend a little while in quiet contemplation prior to its 0300 Zulu start, while we remember those people who didn't make it back, but whose efforts helped to save our nation. Then after 0300 Zulu, we celebrate in a joyous way by competing together for up to 24 hours in a state versus state race to win the most on-air contacts. This year we will hear from the president of the WIA, VK2ASD, and have a reading of the names of amateur radio operators known to have been killed during World War II.
Hi, I'm Phil Waite, VK2ASD, president of the WIA. This month, in the WIA's Amateur Radio magazine for August, I read the biography of a very notable Australian radio amateur, a bloke from the country who had a keen interest in the emerging radio and electronics technologies of the 1920s, who naturally turned to amateur radio. He got his amateur licence before he was 20, and then a commercial broadcasting licence. No doubt his parents were very overjoyed to find a full-blown radio broadcasting station operating in their sitting room of the family home at New Lambton. He became the president of the nation's commercial broadcasting body and then built up and sold the radio station he started in that sitting room. He entered federal parliament and shortly became a federal minister. A few years later, as Minister of Defence, Alan Fairhall, VK2KB, gave the opening address of this, the RD contest, in 1967. Thanks go to Peter Wolfenden, VK3RV, for the article in AR magazine. Alan Fairhall's speech is all in AR and very well worth the read. Amateur radio is a very rich community of like-minded people, and as Alan put it, vastly more than a hobby, more like a preoccupation. Whether you're experimenting with new technologies or equipment, or simply having a chat over the air to each other by either voice or data, or amateur television, or through orbiting satellites, or even by Morse code, or simply attending meetings at radio clubs and conferences, amateurs from all walks of life come together to share their experiences and their knowledge, and to help others. Sometimes over coffee, or something a little stronger, we're solving antenna problems, giving tips about contesting, or inventing the next whiz-bang thing for the shack. And again, I refer to Alan Fairhall's speech, where he said, "In a country which had not previously been involved in the electronics industry, but found itself in wartime need, it was the homegrown skill and experience of radio amateurs that largely filled the key roles in the laboratories and factories developing and building the equipment which their fellow amateurs operated in the field. Even today, scratch any Australian electronics and communications industry and you'll find a good number of people who started their interest in amateur radio and who were helped and guided by others more experienced. That selflessness, a willing to help out, is the very DNA of amateur radio. So, whatever amateur radio means to you, make sure you enjoy it and pass your experience and knowledge on to others, especially those new to the hobby. This Remembrance Day contest, get involved, make lots of contacts and share some numbers, and have lots of fun in the process. But now, let's remember those radio amateurs who are very special in our collective memory. Those selfless people who gave their lives for our nation.
Let's remember those amateurs who are known to have died during the Second World War.
We pay tribute to these members of the Wireless Institute of Australia who paid the supreme sacrifice. Royal Australian Navy, J.E. Mann, VK3IE, A.H.G. Ripon, VK6GR. Australian Military Forces, C.D. Roberts, VK2JV, J.D. Morris, VK3DQ, J. McCandlish, VK3HN, S.W. Jones, VK3SF, D.A. Laws, VK4DR, J.G. Phillips, VK5BW, K.S. Anderson, VK6KS. Royal Australian Air Force, F.W.S. Eastern, VK2BQ, V.J.E. Jarvis, VK2VJ, W. Abbott, VK2YK, G.C. Curl, VK2AJB, T. Stevens, VK3GO, M.D. Orr, VK3OR, J.F. Colthrop, VK3PL, J.A. Burridge, VK3UW, J.E. Snadden, VK3VE, F.J. Starr, VK4FS, R. Allen, VK4PR, C.A. Ives, VK5AF, B. James, VK5BL, J.E. Goddard, VK6JG, P.P. Patterson, VK6PP, and Merchant Marine, N.E. Gunter, VK3NG, and R.P. Veal, VK3PV. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. And the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
now to our official speaker. Last year, Colonel Rupert Hoskin, the defence attaché to Paris, delivered the opening speech for the contest. Please recall that he was a French linguist and civil engineer. For this year, I asked another senior serving member of the defence community in Canberra, this year a professional communicator and linguist, to open the RD contest. Captain Jeff Godeker currently holds the post of Director General, Navy Communications and Information Warfare, which is responsible for the capability management of all Navy C3, that's Command, Control and Communication, Information and Communication Technology, Electronic Warfare, Intelligence and Cyber Capabilities. This role includes being head of the community for the REN Communications and Intelligence categories. He rose through the sailor ranks to Chief Petty Officer as a linguist and electronic warfare specialist. He undertook Principal Warfare Officer training in 1997, winning the Sydney Emden Prize for Ducks of the Course, and subsequently received the Sword of Excellence for Top PWO of the Year. He served as the Anti-Submarine Warfare Officer and Operations Officer of the Guided Missile Frigate Sydney, and later in the Guided Missile Destroyer Brisbane, where he was promoted to Lieutenant Commander. In between, he served as part of the warfare staff of the RAN Sea Training Group for 18 months as Fleet Electronic Warfare Officer. Captain Goedeker commanded the Fremantle-class patrol boat HMAS Townsville from December 2001 to July 2003. He then served as the staff officer in the Maritime Development Branch within ADF Capability Systems Division before attending the Australian Command and Staff course in 2004. Promoted to commander in 2005, he then served in the Air Warfare Destroyer Program and was subsequently selected as executive officer of HMAS Watson, the Warfare School. In June 2007, Goedeker was appointed commanding officer of the Anzac-class frigate HMAS Ballarat, and on leaving command in 2008, was promoted to captain. He then undertook the role of director of the Navy Project Phoenix, concerned with the remediation of REN tactical electronic warfare capability, before assuming his current role in December 2010. Captain Goedeker holds master's degrees in management and in maritime studies. He has been selected as the Deputy Commander and Chief of Staff for the next Maritime Combined Task Force 150, CTF 150. And this will deploy in Bahrain in December of this year in the Horn of Africa region for operations in the Northern Arabian Sea and Indian Ocean. Ladies and gentlemen of the airwaves, it's my pleasure to introduce from the Royal Australian Navy Captain Jeff Goedeker, who's Director General, Navy Communications and Information Warfare. Captain Goedeker, the comms branch has a proud tradition in the RAN, taking its lead from the Royal Navy in the days of the bunting tossers, but now embracing the modern era of digital communications via satellite, with HF still having its place. Now, without stealing your thunder in your speech, what is changing for defence communication?
Well, I think, as we're all feeling it at the moment, in the Navy, we're about to embark upon a new era with some big capital ships and particularly an amphibious capability where we'll be operating as a joint task force. So the traditional stovepipes of Navy, Army and Air Force will be working more closely than ever together, and of course exchanging information and using our communications methods will be particularly important. The challenges of moving technology into such a large organisation is also with us as well, so it's about understanding how to manage all the legacy communications, which go back to the days of Morse, right through to the current day, and software-defined radios and IP communications.
Well, Captain Goedeker, on behalf of the Wireless Institute of Australia and the amateur radio operators of the nation, thank you. And I'd now invite you to deliver the opening address.
Thank you. The Remembrance Day contest honours the Australian radio operators who served their country with distinction during World War II, but who failed to return home afterwards. Of course, Australian forces played a key role in the Pacific War from 1942 until early 1944, making up the majority of Allied strength throughout much of the fighting in the Southwest Pacific. Appropriately, this contest is held on the weekend nearest the 15th of August, that is, Victory in the Pacific Day. This year, that weekend is on the 17th and 18th of August. But let's not forget some of the other key dates that occurred in August during the war. During the Western Desert Campaign, for example, on the 19th of August 1941, the Australian and Indian troops at Tobruk in modern Libya were relieved by the Polish and Czech forces. In the Pacific, on the 21st of August 1945, the Japanese forces surrendered on the island of Ambon, part of the Maluku Islands, which is now Indonesia, of course. And last year, Colonel Rupert Hoskin talked about the air crash near Canberra, which occurred in August 1940, where three ministers of the War Cabinet were killed. For the Royal Australian Navy, World War II also signalled rapid technological advances in communications. These advances included radio telegraphy, tactical voice nets and limited data communications, which included early teletype writers and basic online cryptography. In my role today, I'm responsible for managing the Navy's communications and ICT capability in a period that's characterised by an ever-increasing demand for information and information exchange, and the advancement of related technologies that can be quite challenging to keep a pace with. One of these challenges is optimising training for our communicators. At present, they are still learning many of those skills required three decades ago, perhaps with the exception of using the Morse key over the radio, though they do still learn Morse code and they send it by light. In addition to those more traditional skills related to radio communications and visual signalling, today they also contend with satellite communications and communications path in the microwave spectrum via traditional radio spectrum. They build and maintain networks, they administer local and wide area networks, and they're involved in cyber security. They need to understand both serial and IP communications and contend with all of the new equipment and communication systems that will be delivered with our new fleet units. They're knowledgeable about modems and routers, some even write software code and script, and develop apps. The modern day communicator skills are truly remarkable. The challenge for me lies in what we define as legacy communications and what we're prepared to leave behind in favour of new technologies. We simply can't teach them everything, we just don't have the time. As this audience is no doubt aware, this is a time when new technologies such as software definable radios are changing the way we operate. There are some significant research and advances in digital communications, and areas such as high data rate free space optical communications, for example in the visual and laser light spectrums, and I'm aware that the amateur radio community are involved in the testing and experimenting of some of these more sophisticated and cutting-edge technologies. What I've learned is that despite the rapid onset of technology, this factor does not make the task of communicating any easier. Perhaps more so than previously, this technology demands expertise in the communications field, and our communicators must therefore be deep specialists in roles which previously were considered as just support to our military operations, but now they are fundamental to our operational and warfighting capability. I think with this deep expertise brings with it the passion to stay involved in the communications field long after our communicators leave the service, and having access to associations such as those related to amateur radio will see this fraternity thrive for years to come. During this time, we think of rotations of ADF men and women in Afghanistan, and we should also remember that there are personnel deployed to Iraq and East Timor, Somalia, Sudan, the Sinai, Israel and Lebanon, and the Solomon Islands. In addition, the Navy is patrolling our northern coast of Australia, operating in the region, conducting border protection operations, and we have a ship permanently deployed to the Middle East. Our RAF aircraft are patrolling the oceans and skies and providing strategic and regional airlift and are also deployed overseas. Since the last Remembrance Day contest, three Australian soldiers have been killed while serving in Afghanistan, and I therefore wish to acknowledge the supreme sacrifice made by James Thomas Martin, 21, a sapper from the 2nd Combat Engineer Regiment who was serving with 3RAR, Scott James Smith, 24, who was a corporal with the Special Operations Task Group, and Cameron Stewart Baird, who was 32, a recipient of the Medal for Gallantry, a corporal from the 2nd Commando Regiment, part of the Special Operations Task Group. As the contest begins, let's also not forget that the 18th of August is Vietnam Veterans Day. Some of you have a tough decision to make, whether you'll be participating tomorrow in the radio contest or having a celebration with mates. Perhaps there's a chance to partake in a bit of both. In conclusion, the numbers of World War II service personnel are thinning as the years march on, but we honour them today as our country has done so for 70 years, and we shall never forget them. Radio amateurs of Australia, New Zealand and Papua New Guinea, on this weekend nearest the anniversary of VP Day, it is my great pleasure to formally declare the Remembrance Day contest for 2013 open.